technically vodka is not enough to kill it, but Everclear is too much, so mix vodka and Everclear, and then that'll kill it.
Sounds like a saying in there somewhere.
I don't think that's a CDC recommendation.
I think it is.
But...
do the math. Good enough. All right, everybody.
What are we talking about clapping episodes.
Today on Sit Clap.
Do you just want to do a whole episode where we practice how to clap?
I surely don't.
Are you sure?
We could do that. We could just clap.
Call me Shirley.
I just did.
So we should probably talk about the elephant in the room.
Don't call Kevin an elephant.
Yeah, I don't think you're supposed to call him that.
Is
the statewide shelter in place, or like the metro-wide shelter in place?
No, no, it's statewide now. First it was metro, and then it was all of the counties did it, and then the governor decided to do it. The governor.
Yep.
He's gubernatorial, so I just like to call him the governor.
The governor.
So my question is, like, where exactly does the finalized list of stuff that we can go out and do live?
I don't know where the one for the state was, but for the Jefferson County, the one that I live in, the list was you can go to gas stations, liquor stores, auto parts stores, mechanics, hardware stores, takeout restaurants.
What about
grocery
banks?
Stores, if I didn't say that. Banks,
grocery stores,
hospitals.
And banks.
Basically
groceries.
Everything but, I guess, porn stores, clothing stores, and video game stores.
That's interesting because I heard that liquor stores weren't like going to stay open or
so
be like allowed.
In Denver, they announced that they were going to close liquor stores and medicinal weed stores. And then 2 hours later, they rolled that back as the riots started.
it went crazy.
Because
and even outside of Denver County, it got crazy.
I waited in line.
Rush.
I went to a liquor store after that just because we needed to get liquor. And we waited in line for probably a solid 20 minutes to check out. Where normally we don't wait in line at all at this liquor store.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because everybody who saw that it was happening in Denver County, I mean, Laura and I were talking about it when it got announced. And like, we're not going to be far behind.
Right. And then it turns out, yes, we are. They're not closing liquor stores because liquor stores are considered essential.
Because
we're proud to be an
American. What about marijuana stores?
The marijuana stores in Jefferson County are also considered essential. I do not know what the statewide one is. So Jefferson County issued it in a press release and then actually published the health 200 or 20-002, so I think 2020 announcement 002, which established rules and everything and outlined it all very clearly in legal speak. I have not seen one for Colorado. I don't know if they're going to bother following those rules, or they're just going to just, you know, say things and then shuffle off to their mansions and not bother. I have no real respect for governor level stuff.
To me, it kind of sounds like one of those things where, like, if you're like, oh, man, I need to go get some more medicinal weed, or I need to go to the place, right, that I usually go that is normal for me to go to on a daily basis or weekly basis, and like, they catch you out there, like, you kind of have to be, like, loitering. I feel like you kind of have to go out of your way to get in trouble. It's more like, because, I know that the intent is to, like, fine and potentially arrest people who are, like, not being smart about like staying in their house and
stop licking all the doorknobs.
Yeah, like it's not really meant. Far as the Denver mayor said, it's not really meant to just like penalize and fine people. It's meant to like kind of make everybody like on the same page. Like get everybody.
If think about the logic of it, right? Are the cops going to arrest you and then put you in their tiny car where you're facing them? On the chance that you might be sick and spread a disease? No, they're not going to fucking do that. Like,
especially if you just sit there and cough through the little gate thing.
They're going to roll up and they're like, where are you going? And you're like, I'm walking to the grocery store. And they're going to be like, cool. Bye.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, my idea is like, let's say you're going to like I go to my local game store, right? Like, I go to my local game store and a cop sees me there and I'm like, and then I'm like, oh, like, can I not be here? And he's like, no, you have to be at home or something. I'm like, okay, cool, I'll head home. Like, as long as you're not being a jerk about it, I feel like that's kind of the main idea.
And more likely is they're going to go to the game store and be like, why are you guys still open?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
That's probably, they'll be like, hey, guys, you got to close. And it won't be like, kick the window in, tase everybody and be like, get on the ground. It'll be more like, guys, go home. Because
we need local game store SWAT stat.
I mean, everyone wants to act like the cops are a bunch of like psychos, but also they don't want to kick the door in on a potential fucking disease-ridden nightmare place. Like,
yeah. That's what I feel the worst about is that like I feel like cops are going to get the brunt of it as soon as this shelter-in-place thing takes place tomorrow, because they're the ones that have to go out there and they have to up their presence and they have to enforce this stuff, and it's like.
I don't think there's going to be a big show of force or a big upping of presence. Good. Like it sounds like that's a thing, but I don't think they're gonna. I think there's gonna they're just gonna be a general sense of everybody saying, "Hey, bitch, be cool."
Yeah. I hope that's exactly.
I mean, if some psycho's going around like coughing on everyone, then yeah, they might put them in their car or something.
Or like call somebody about to get figured out. So some of the other things that if you didn't know, I guess you guys know, but you might not know if you don't know me. My parents are kind of like, just like Kendrick's parents a little bit. They just stay in the mountains and keep to themselves and don't really mess with anybody. But my parents are kind of getting a little paranoid now, and they're like the kind of people that, you know, they're very protective of their stuff, so they don't really like when they can't get their things. So they're in the process of like basically bunkering down, and they have pulled money out of some banks to have a lot of money on hand and blah, 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 stuff and so forth, so on and so forth. How have you guys prepared for this in addition to what happened like last week, what we talked about a few weeks ago, maybe, I think now. But the idea of like preparing, like how far are you going? How far do you think is too far?
Well, I think we've gone kind of light, honestly. We've had my situation hasn't really changed since from what we talked about last time, of just like the stuff that we had. We have another grocery store run coming up this weekend that was kind of a weird thing because we had to schedule it because we put in the purchase order in King Supers and it's a pickup. So you can drive over to the store at a set time and they will bring your groceries out to you.
Cool.
Yeah, that's what we did with Walmart too.
Yeah, so this will be a new novel experience. But like aside from that, we're not fortifying the windows.
Well, I guess that's like okay, so that's a line, right? No, I don't know of anybody that's actually doing that yet. I thought it was interesting that they were suggesting like taking money out, like 2 months worth of expenses, and having it in cash and things like that.
See that I don't get that one, but I'll let somebody else talk.
I'm gonna
about
let other people do that so I can rob them easier.
Yeah, that's kind of what I said. I was like, I don't have
it. Get that gold, please, and put it on your doorstep so that it doesn't get lost in your house.
Well, the other part is like my parents have a lot of guns, so I think if someone tried to rob them, it'd be a firefight or like a bloodbath. So.
Go ahead,
Kim. I don't think anyone that knows your parents would try to rob them, honestly. Just saying.
And I don't think anybody that doesn't know your parents knows how to get to their place. So.
Yeah, math checks out.
So there's the two things.
Yeah.
So I can say, because I talked about it last time, how what we were doing, we've basically done the same thing, but bought more booze.
Okay, fair enough.
We definitely stocked up on booze for sure.
Well,
we got enough wine to last us like 6 months.
That's nice. So like 250 bottles? We did find that Papillon wine again, by the way. That means butterfly.
Oh, you did? Mm-hmm. Okay.
We were standing in line, and we saw it on the shelf. We're like, this is coming home with us. other than that, we bought more, a few more things, some dried goods. Kate just went to Sprouts. She went to get an oil change on my car because we were worried that they would shut down. I wasn't sure if auto mechanics counted as essential, and I was like, I can change my own oil, but I don't want to.
So
yeah, like it's literally probably been 20 years since I last changed oil in a car myself, or was around when someone did it in front of me, and it's like, yeah, I don't want to, and I felt bad because I was worried that our mechanic, if he did get shut down as a non-essential, would then, like, be fucked. Business. So it's like, let's get as much business to him as we can before he shuts down. And it turns out he didn't have to shut down, but it worked out because now we're doing the shelter-in-place thing, and it's just easier not to deal with it.
I was going to go spend some money at local game stores if this didn't happen yet today. I wasn't aware where it was going to happen so soon because I was planning this weekend to go to, like, Collector Mania and Vantage and Mythic Games. And like spend some money there because I knew this is going to be rough, but it looks like I'm kind of shit out of luck now, and I feel really bad for them because that sucks.
Let's just send Mike some money. Just fax him some cash.
I might have to do that, just PayPal the owner's money, because I know most of the owners besides Advantage Games, so like I feel like just giving them money
you could always ask if you could buy a gift certificate or something, you know, or a prepay for something.
What people were suggesting is buy trade books and so buy gift certificates, but just don't spend them all at the same time. Like,
no, just give them cash now and then plan to go redeem it later when they're open again.
But the other thing is that distribution... distribution centers for comic books, board games, and stuff like that are all shut down now, so nobody is going to be getting any comics, which is going to kill stores. There's no new Magic or board game product coming for a while, which is going to kill some stores. So it's like,
oh, there's lots of things dying. We've already seen a couple breweries. Black Sky just closed their... Black Sky?
Yeah.
Is it the Black one in Sky? I think so. Arvada?
Yeah.
No, not in Arvada. Kate, is it Black Sky? She's got headphones on. Never mind. It's the one down in Denver. It's the metal bar with the really good pizza. Well, it had really good pizza. They announced that they're closing and they don't expect to reopen.
Oh wow.
Oh no.
Yeah.
That sucks. I just want to go spend all the money that I make at places, but I can't.
We wanted Chinese food the other night and we picked some random, like, we found a local joint online, and it was some of the best Chinese food we've had in a long time. It was amazing.
Yeah, we got a delivery from a place near... That was not near here. Jerusalem, something or other. Fucking amazing, like, kebab meat, kebab, whatever it was. I can't remember what it is. Oh, man, I blended all the Mediterraneans together, so, you know, it had tzatziki, but not tzatziki. It was like kuam or whatever, and then the rice. No, but it was fucking delicious.
Yeah, we had some really good stuff.
Yeah, we got Chinese food the other day, too, and it was actually... Yeah, I mean, I'm all down for spending money getting delivery.
I've been trying to tip people more cash, which I realize is probably bad, but
hey, I mean, as long as you're spending money and helping people out.
Well, no, but
I think
cash has the virus on it.
I know.
Right.
But like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it depends. If your cash has been only touched by you, then
I've been licking every doorknob and licking all my cash.
Oh, why are you still doing that? You can't tell people not to do that and then do it yourself.
It's called addiction, Kyle. I have a problem.
Hypocrite.
No, it was, I wanted to call it out, Black Sky Brewery over in Santa Fe in Denver. They are closing their doors, and they're saying that it's unlikely they'll be able to open again. They thought they could do delivery, but it turns out they can't. And they're going to set up a GoFundMe for their employees to cover their costs until they can find jobs.
Wow, that's really nice.
Shout out to them being, you know, cool with their own company shutting down.
Yeah.
Immense bummer. Yeah. That was a great place.
A few of our friends are going through something in interesting spaces because their companies are small. This is Aaron and Dalton. Mm-hmm. Their companies are so small that their C-levels, their CEOs, their Steve Roaches are basically like, we're not going to... So tomorrow is going to be the first day that they're going to either work from home or get laid off because... they were not able to work from home up until now, and nobody really knows what's gonna happen to them now.
Well, yeah, so. I know some people are getting pay cuts.
Yep.
I know some people who are getting pay cuts because they had to close all their revenue sources, and I know people like to piss and moan and they like to make fun about how we treat companies in this country, but ultimately, at any company you can go to. Almost any I can think of, payroll is the most expensive part and most expensive piece of the whole thing. Like, people spend so much money on their employees, even if they pay them shitty. It's like McDonald's pays a lot more for their employees than they do for their beef, right? So if you have a bunch of people who are now still working and still expecting to draw a salary of some kind, but you have no income streams because all of your things closed. If you run a sex toy shop even if you run something like GameStop closed all their doors, right? Like, they closed all their stores. And so all the people who work there, those guys, they make crap money for a crap job. And the company, you know, really marks up a lot of like the used games, but their markup, their money is not really that great on their retail side. It's volume based, right? So if they can't crank out a whole shitload of thinly marked up plushies and video games and memory cards and consoles and shit, their operating costs are so high given the rent and the amount of like stock they have to keep on hand and shit. Like it, this is financial ruin for so many places. Even if those companies otherwise are dickheads, it's a tragedy to see them all fail because of this.
I was more thinking like these are two companies I know that have the potential to be able to work from home, and their leaders aren't allowing it for whatever reason. Like the lack of adaptability is kind of frustrating, I think, on some fronts. While I do understand, like, a lot of these big corporations, they do, like, a lot of, the, like, especially GameStop, like you said, the margins are so small, like, that it sucks. And we're going to see a very big change here in some of these industries, and it's going to be crazy.
Having said that, if you can't adapt, the opportunities there, and you can't adapt, you're going to die.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to destroy a lot of companies that could have adapted. Like, people in their space could adapt, but they didn't, you know? All the company, like ours switched to complete work from home weeks ago, right? Well before anyone recommended it or like and required it.
And I think though we have the capability of doing that though. Like where our company had been very well set up to adapt to a complete work from home environment. It's really the main reason that we had a main office was because everybody liked to be together.
And
like there is a communal effort to the job, because I know my managers specifically are always talking about how they didn't like us working from home because one, they can't track what we're doing.
Yeah, they can't stand behind you and breathe on your neck in a sexually inappropriate way.
Yeah. So, but like now it's like this definitely showed that this was an opportunity that like our job could be done from literally anywhere without really being affected. We're still taking the same number of like cases, case volume, doing calls, getting stuff done without having to be, you know, right next to each other.
And
so
the only reason we're losing our minds is because we can't leave our houses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of losing your minds, okay, go ahead. We'll finish your thought and then I'll jump to the more positive side of quarantine.
Sure. Well, yeah, I was just talking to one of my TCS team members today, and they were just talking about how, like, this has been really good. And I was like, man, I really like in working from home right now because this has been, you know, really productive and great. And she's like, yeah, the only thing that sucks is we can't go anywhere. Like, once you're done with work, I'm still here. I can't leave. We can't join a group. We can't do anything. And I was like, yeah, I get that. But go ahead, Kyle.
Oh, no, and that's the thing is, like, having a healthy distancing between, like, when work is starting and ending, I think helped, like taking breaks during the day to different parts of your house if possible, and you know, maybe locating your workspace in a different area than your play space, all the kind of basic shit.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's for me the biggest thing is we're in an environment where we can do that, and I feel like other companies, other software companies, other tech companies, even other brick and mortar companies that have a lot of accountants or any of those kinds of, it doesn't matter where you are jobs, you just need a computer. And the ones that refuse to adapt to this and be like, well, I guess we're closing the doors. It's like, we could work from home. Nope, they're just going to close the doors. They're going to die, and I think that's probably better off.
Yeah, I think like the one I thought was interesting is Dalton's company is like a marketing firm. And so like a lot of the stuff that they do, like they have a lot of graphic design people. They have a lot of like, you know, sales people to sell the bids and things like that. And I was like, I feel like a decent amount of that stuff can be done from like remotely if you just, you know, tried it. But I don't know the industry well enough. And I just, it's one of those things where like, now I want to know more about it to understand why it might be failing.
Well, and a lot of that's just a habit, right? Like I work from home one day a week for the last 7 years, almost like every week, right? I negotiated that. I guess maybe five, 6 years. I negotiated that way, way, way back, early days. And it was like, look, I drive this long commute. Just give me one day to work from home. I'll get so much more shit done because I won't be on the road. And no one's pushed back on that in the entire time that I've been with the companies that are now the company we work for. And my productivity has never been affected by it in any measurable way because the amount of time I fuck around at work is
driving.
More than the amount of time I fuck around at home. And the driving, but often when I'm working from home, or like when I did a couple days in a row before, I would work for like 10 hours because I would just get into a groove and I'd look up and like, oh, it's dark out. What the hell?
Yeah.
And so I do have to agree with the boundaries. And so lately, since this whole thing's happened, I've started setting my Slack status to like done for the day at four, somewhere between 4 and 5. I'll be like, and that's hour 8 or 9 or 10 or wherever I'm at, depending on when I woke up and made it into down the two flights of stairs to my office. And it's just setting that like done, leave me the hell alone. I can't work forever.
I think a lot of us have turned to like video gaming probably, or maybe watching movies. I mean, that's kind of, I mean, Animal Crossing just came out, which is like a huge thing. It was like probably
playing it right now.
I'm on right now, letting people mess around on my island.
Kate's playing it behind me right now.
There's, I think, in our Discord chat alone, I think over 50% of the people in it, and this is like 20 people or more, have it, which is kind of crazy because that's the only game where we've had in our Discord that many people all playing this.
Right now, four other people are in the Animal Crossing chat, the voice chat, talking to each other. So that's of the people sitting, of the people we know right now, six of them are playing this game. And I bet Ross is still awake playing it because he was talking about how he's going to, you know, he's still playing that game too.
Nice.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, you go ahead, Kyle.
I was just going to say, Kevin's wife's in an article today about why games like Animal Crossing tend to be good for people that are like isolation, why we play them, why we play those kinds of games and the escapism and stuff. And it wasn't stuff
it cut
was
out,
really...
but he said it was The Sims, the Animal Crossing and The Sims.
The Sims, yeah. And so,
yeah,
those games, like, you know, it's the very basic stuff about video gaming where you have the escapist thing. You get to do things you could never do in real life. You get to see people that you might not be able to see every day. But it's not in the same way as like a Borderlands or something like that, or like a Overwatch where you just go shoot things. Like, you have your own avatar. And I mean, sure, Kendrick, you could talk for days about like avatars and digital.
I have. World. And I won't.
So, but it's, yeah, it's, if you're looking for stuff to do, like there's a lot of options out there that can keep you pretty distracted and,
well,
out of your own head.
There's a really great part of that that has to do with a sense of accomplishment too, which I think is probably the biggest part, is it gives you a sense of control and a sense of accomplishment. Like, I have
like
power over this and I can succeed. And especially with where millennials are right now, it's a pretty common complaint that we feel like we don't have any control over our lives or any sense of accomplishment. If you don't own a house, have a wife, have a kid, have a career, have a whatever, if you're but I mean, if you're a classical, raised in a classical cultural environment, classical American, and okay, I mean, honestly, I talk about checking our privilege. Let's talk to the four of us in various stages of that American dream. All homeowners, all with long-term relationships at varying levels of having kids and wives, etc. But there are plenty of people who are disenfranchised with this culture and they don't have a house. They're paying rent. They don't have a career. They're working at Starbucks or they're working at a marketing gig or they're working at whatever, and they don't have the passion. I mean, as much as we grouse about our jobs, we're all in a technical field doing shit that's reasonably career-based, even if it's not the best. We could all move on. We're all in probably a higher percentage of income than any one of us would probably admit to freely, out of a general sense of
don't come rob me.
Well, that too.
Camaraderie.
Don't camaraderie.
Don't come robber me, bro.
Don't come robber me.
Is that the name of the podcast? Don't come robber me, bro.
I hope I remember to put that in later. but that's the thing, is there's a lot of people who don't have that for whatever reason, and this gives them that normalcy and that connection to the not necessarily the American dream, but that sense of cultural expectations without having to actually get off their asses and go do it because they're just lazy otherwise they do better.
Yeah, so if you're looking for something to do to distract you, video gaming, big deal. And so I guess I actually heard today somewhere. Well, sorry, let me rephrase that. I read a headline somewhere that by no means means I know what I'm talking about. So welcome to SitSock. But that Switches are actually getting hard to find in the U.S. So that's kind of interesting.
I'll trade you 24 rolls of toilet paper for a Switch.
I've read that it sold better last week in Japan than it outsold the Wii last week in Japan. There's been more Switches sold in Japan than the Wii.
Oh, of all time?
Yeah, of all time.
I was going to say, people are buying Wiis in Japan still?
I think it just had a high sell.
Of the
Yeah. Of historic sales. Sweet.
Yep.
So.
Anyway.
It's a great console. It probably has to be one of the best consoles. But another thing that I delved into was Tabletop Simulator. So for all of us who like to play like cardboard games and tabletop games, Tabletop Simulator is this crazy app on Steam and maybe on some other stuff, I don't know, but it's really basic. So the idea is very straightforward, and we might have talked about this before on the podcast, but it's been like 200 episodes, so fuck it, we're gonna do it again.
226.
Well, I mean, okay, yeah, fair, but it's like simulation software. So it has like blank cards and blank chips and blank chits and blank pieces that you can put in.
Would you
and the
call
whole
it?
Gimmick? Yeah, you're a blank piece. you mother, you piece of shit. So all that stuff exists in the game, and they have really basic games like chess, checkers, like card games like solitaire. But the big thing that people did was using Steam Workshop and their own creativity and time was put all of these other real life board games and remake them into Tabletop Simulator, and so. You can take a game like, I don't know if anybody in this cast has heard of these games, but Clank or like Settlers of Catan or any of these card games I play and things like that, and play them with your friends in a VR or the simulator type environment and get the same exact feel as if you were playing it, you know, or a similar feel as if you were playing it in person. And a lot of the games have like setup, like auto setup, so you can click a button and there's like macros that will do all the setup for you. It's pretty freaking amazing.
The future got weird, everybody.
Yeah, I was actually playing around with it the other day because you guys were talking about it, and I grabbed it because I just happen to have that money on hand. It's like $20. It's almost nothing for like what you can do with it. It's incredible. But I was playing around with there's a native RPG set in it, so it's got like your stock. Some kind of like stock figures like zombies and ghouls and dragon. Just the one dragon.
There's only one dragon. You gotta share only it with all the other players.
Yeah. But like they have like the rules and everything, and you can like right click on the figures and you can make them do like a little fight animation. And if they're in proximity and facing a monster or a character and you do that, the creature that it's attacking or is being attacked reacts. And then they have like a little death animation and stuff. I was messing around. I was like, this is really cool. And you could grab you just throw in a whole bunch of dice of like whatever you need and change it to whatever colors you want in kind of a very basic color palette. I didn't really delve too deep into that. I was like, I wonder if I could do some metallics and stuff. And you just whip those dice around. And then ultimately there's a table flip feature.
Yeah.
And you can just be like, I just threw a bunch of stuff on. And after I went on the tutorial, it just dumps all of this, like all these little game pieces on top of it. And like, press the flip the table. And you do that. And the table like goes up into the air. All the stuff scatters. And it just plummets into like the infinity below you.
The abyss.
There's also a really cool thing where like if you grab a grouping of things and they're all dice and you shake your mouse, it'll like roll the dice for you. Yeah. And like shuffling your deck, if you grab the whole deck and shake your mouse, it'll shuffle the deck. It's like all these little gimmicky things that are really cool when you like in there, you're like, oh, this is fucking cool. I just want to sit here and shake these cards all day. I don't even care what happens. And they have a really nice player system, so you can assign like different areas of the board to certain players, and you can change each inner person in the room's color to that player, and that's like the spot they own, and they have visibility into stuff in that area that other people can't see. So it's really genius how they like kind of pull it all together.
So I feel like we should have a full podcast dedicated to this.
Probably.
Instead of tacking it on the end of another podcast.
I agree.
Well, as we hit minute 30.
Well, so you know, if you're... Yeah, go ahead.
Let's land this sucker and see where we go. Because we're definitely pushing it pretty long right now.
Okay, cool.
So, like, comment, and subscribe. Check out Tabletop Simulator, was it called?
Yeah.
Animal Crossing.
And Animal Crossing, and social distancing, and COVID-19, and technically vodka is not enough to kill it, but Everclear is too much, so mix vodka and Everclear, and then that'll kill it.
Sounds like a saying in there somewhere.
I think that's a CDC recommendation.
I think it is. But... do the math. Like, comment, and subscribe. We love you, but not enough to kill you with coronavirus. COVID.
Yeah. Bye.
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 Bye.